Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Let's take this opportunity to acknowledge our traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, your mob too, Delhi. We're going to jump straight in. We've got Which Way Yarning, and going to catch up a yarn there with Delhi Commissioner come to join us, Katerina Carroll. And also she brought a couple of bodyguards. We have Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy and Stephen Grant, PLO, Police Liaison Officer. And got a new company car, Maserati, I heard, but we'll talk about that. And a very good morning to you all. Hi, how are you?
Yeah,
and
Commissioner,
good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, as I said earlier, you're prettier than these two boys, so hello to you. And hello to you, Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy. How are you?
Very well, Trevor.
Good, brother. And Brother Steve.
Good morning.
Who are you, mob? Where are you from, Cuss?
Proud Jitterbolt Murray from the rainforests of the Tully Cardinal. Ravensow Division.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yep. PLO, Police Liaison, going yep. for the Commissioner's job. Sorry, that's what you told me off air, brother. Don't bring that in now.
No.
We'll talk later. Thank
we'll
you.
Have to talk about that.
Thank you, Commissioner. A very good morning to you, Commissioner. Thank you for coming to the program. So where do you stem from? Tell us your story.
Yeah, my parents were immigrants to Australia, came out in 1960. They came to Innisfail to cut cane. So I was born in Innisfail.
Okay.
And then moved to a little town of Innit Hot Springs when I was about 7 days old.
There you go.
Yes. And went to school, Mount Garnet, and then to boarding school in Herberton, and then to university in Townsville.
So true, far north Queenslander.
True far northerner, raised with many First Nations people, and I say hello to the Goddins, the Woodleys, the Gosams, the Henrys, and the list goes on. It's lovely to be back home.
And we mentioned Kerry Boasted and Billy Slater, coming from Innisfail, born in Innisfail, and a big shout out to those two deadly lads as well.
They are.
Of origin, yes.
It's good to associate with them, isn't it?
Exactly. They breed them good in Townsville. Innisfail, that is. So Murray from the Curry and out from Mount Isa. They breed them good at Mount Isa as well. Pat Rafter, the Shark, yes. Deborah Mailman and Scotty Prince. Mm-hmm. So heap
wow.
of them, yeah.
Yep.
Breed them good out there as well. So look, you wear a hat, a very important hat, at the top, so to speak, my dear. So... let's talk about first workforce shortages with the Queensland Police. We are looking for more police officers to come on board.
Yeah, definitely. And I talked to my commissioners from around the country because I know your event this morning or radio show goes everywhere.
Yes.
And we're all experiencing something very similar. So when we get together, we talk about this often. And it is around the employment market at the moment. You know, it's a very, very low unemployment. So we're doing a lot of things to encourage particularly people to join our organisation. We made a lot of announcements this week, incentives for people to join the QPS. But, you know, it's not just police officers, it's PLOs. You know, we're carrying vacancies in those areas as well. So part of the message that I want to get across today is, you know, come and have a chat to us, you know, go on our website. We have recruiting officers that go out to schools and communities, our First Nations communities throughout the Cape, the Torres Strait, and talk to us. We have a number of pathways as well to get into our organisation. We have a pathway through the TAFE to prepare people for not only us, the Border Force, the AFP, but I prefer they chose the QPS so everyone knows.
Represent.
But we also have a six-week preparation pathway that will be starting at the Queensland Police Academy in Townsville in August. And this is introducing First Nations people to join the Queensland Police Service, the testing.
And they don't have to go through... PLO.
No, this is actually straight into the police service.
Yes.
This is also to introduce you to the tests that you will go through, to introduce you through the physical tests, many aspects of policing to prepare you. Digital literacy is one of the ones that, you know, it introduces you to. So it's a very good preparation. So
We are talking the 21st century, aren't we?
Yes, we
are. Technology and what have you.
So I'm encouraging everyone, not just from Queensland, but from across the country.
Oh, you're poaching out of states, can't you? You're good. Thank you. That's right. Open slather.
But there's some amazing recruitment incentives at the moment. We pay for people to go to our academies. We give allowances. We pay for the tests that you have to undertake. We are paying for people to relocate from other states. That's an incentive as well. So there are many, many incentives at the moment. And we want to make sure that we replicate, you know, the community that we serve. So it's incredibly, incredibly important that we have all cultures, all backgrounds, all races, you know, coming to our organisation.
Well, we are living in a multicultural country, so fantastic to hear that. And when you're talking police force, you're not only talking about becoming a police officer, there's industries within the police
You've got a good example of one right beside me. Yeah. We have a very, very strong police liaison program.
Yes.
There is over 200 in the Queensland Police Service. Most are First Nations people and most a lot up this part of the world. And we also carry vacancies there. There's also QuadCIP. There's administrative officers. There's many, many people in our watch houses who are First Nations as well. So this is across many workforces within the department.
Within the department, which is fantastic. So Open Slather, always looking for room for improvement. So in regard to the academy, how many are going through each year? Do you have any numbers there, Commissioner?
So what we're looking at is putting through quite a few every month. So the academy at Townsville can take up to 60, and we've already got people in there. We're swearing in Brisbane next month, close to 100, but again, another 100 start next month. So we're hoping to
conveyor belt.
Yes, yes, very much so. Several hundred for the year.
Okay.
So it is a lot of recruiting, heavy recruiting, and that will go on for the next few years at least.
Fantastic. So you mentioned Indigenous recruiting, and if not through PLO, then directly to the force. So that's fantastic.
So, Tim, I wanted to probably touch on another program as well that we have at Palm Island with our PSOs. They're our Protective Services Officers. And this is
where. Are they different to PLOs?
Yes. Yeah. So they actually protect. So the PLOs are our liaison within the organisation and the community.
Yep.
Our Protective Services Officers, there's 600 within the QPS, and they protect government buildings. So they work for education, but they're hosted. They're actually part of the QPS.
They're part of the QPS.
So we have an additional program at the moment where in Palm Island we trained six of our local community to be PSOs within the QPS, but they live on the island and they protect their government buildings there.
Okay, and they wear the blue uniform?
They wear a dark uniform with maroon QPS patches.
Okay.
So they are one of us.
There you go. One of the teams.
Extraordinarily successful program. Good. And we're looking to roll that out to many First Nations communities.
All right, fantastic. Great. That's good. So another opportunity.
Another opportunity.
Yeah, another avenue, so to speak, to be with the QPS. Fantastic. So here we are talking about, well, youth crime is very big, you know, and it's across the nation, if not across the globe. Kids at a very young age. I strongly believe that there's kids out there having kids. You know, there's no foundation in regard to the familyhood, so they're running riot. What do we do here, and what is the QPS doing?
So I could talk. I'm very passionate about this subject. And I think people sometimes don't realise that most of the kids that come into contact with the police are good kids. They get cautioned. They are diverted. Kids are born good kids.
Yeah. Some of them just do bad things.
Yes.
That's all. Good kids.
And 80% of them we never see again. And in fact, although the Queensland population of children has increased dramatically over the years, 80,000 more than 10 years ago, there's actually 4,000 less child offenders. But what we're seeing is a small cohort, and we're talking about that, you know, 15 to 20% that are actually offending more and more serious offending. And I'm glad
and
I'm glad you touched on this. I think sometimes we become Queensland centric and think it's happening here. It's actually happening in a lot of places at the moment.
Exactly.
And we run a lot of programs, and I know you touched on this before. There's some wonderful programs at the moment. There's, you know, John Thurston's, you know, academy that he's doing. It's our, we have a Booyah program.
Yes, Booyah, yes.
Very successful, interacting with at-risk youth that we work with. We in Cairns have a co-responder model. We're rolling that out all over Queensland. That's where youth justice works with police in a car. In a car that's very has a lot of First Nations artwork, and we work closely together. We share the same information. We co-house. That's very successful. Mm. We have things called collaborative panels, and that's also rolling out across the state. But a very good example of that in Townsville is where all of the departments come together.
Mm.
Key departments such as the Health Department, the Queensland Police Service, Youth Justice and Education.
Well, it takes a community to raise a child. Yes. So we need everybody at the table. And we're all in this together, aren't we?
And we all help not only that child, but their siblings and also the family. Because you've got to make this all of government, all of community, and helping everyone that's in that space. Some of those have been extraordinarily successful. Yes, it's hard work. You know, we're not going to have a silver bullet that will resolve this in a month or a year. We've got to sustain this and we've got to work together.
Yeah, for sure. There's talk about two more detention centres being built up in Cairns, and a lot of elders are against that, you know, when you talk about AMWA being in prison, so to speak. The numbers are very high, and for taxpayers, it costs about $100,000 per person to be in jail per year. We can have, to me, put that $100,000 towards that individual, if not $50,000 of that, to help the individual in life coaching, a vision for future, get a foundation. You know, there's got to be other answers.
Yeah, no, you know, I talked to Chris Sara, who's my director general, my colleague and friend who works in DATSIT, and we talk about this often. We talk about looking, you know, at other models. And when we talk about youth detention, it's not for that 80% because... You know, we do a lot of work to intervene early, to caution, and there's a lot of programs. It really is for that 20%. But with that 20%, how then do we make sure that there are those programs, there is those schools, there is that education, that even if they are in detention, how do we then work with them solidly to make sure that when they do come out, that they also succeed in life? I think the difficulty for all of us is getting that balance right. You know, what is that balance of making sure that you protect the community, but also that you don't give up on these children?
Sure, exactly. And look, it's very sad, but there's been some fatalities because of the youth crime, you know, and thoughts and prayers are going to families who lost loved ones along the way. We're talking about stolen cars and, fatality with these vehicles being a weapon as such, you know, and the young ones don't even know that, and people have died in that, and innocent people driving by. So there's a lot of work to be done in this area, but your hands are tied as well in regard to rules and laws and regulations coming from the so-called courts of Australia.
Yeah, and I think, again, I go to that point, you know, it's about that balance, and I think it's a difficult one to strike. You know, my hearts go out to those families that have been affected by this. I meet often with them. And their lives are changed forever.
Well, we're talking about COVID-19 as a pandemic. This has become a pandemic, you know, youth crime, and we need to put a stop to it, you know. I feel that the education system, the curriculum needs to change as well. If Gough Whitlam came back to life, the only thing you'd see the same is the curriculum system, you know. That probably needs to change, especially with our mob, our First Nation kids who get bored. Not a lot of them are academic in that sense, you know, so they get bored with it. They'd probably learn more sitting underneath a gum tree or on the beach. I don't know. That feels like that needs to be changed. What's your thoughts on that?
I think whatever we do, and this is incredibly important, that we look at evidence, that we look at where success has happened, that we learn, you know, from elders, that we learn from community, that we learn from experts, that we learn from, you know, other examples. You know, we're not the only nation confronting this. And I know there's First Nations across the world that I'm sure that have encountered, you know, similar issues, and we've got to learn from each other.
Yeah, for
sure. And we can't think that one strategy is the answer to it. We've just constantly got to learn and adapting and being agile and having to change to meet those needs.
Exactly. Now, as a commissioner, you go to very, very important meetings like we've just had here in Cairns for the last couple of days. Parliament, Queensland Parliament, had their meeting at the Cairns Convention Centre. I was lucky to go along to the opening there yesterday. So you get to attend those. Over to Senior Sergeant Linda Lloyd. Does she drop and see you there at Edmonton, brother?
No, look, we
the kettle's on for her.
We did have an engagement there on Monday with the launch of the new PLO vehicle for Edmonton.
Okay, Commissioner was there for that.
Yes, and cool. So Stevie Grant has a brand new MG vehicle.
There you go, brother, stepping up in the world.
So
Flash Murray.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of it. But look, I know the Commissioner has got around to stations in the north during her visit, and she always does. She visits...
local girl. I mean, we just found out, born in Insel, with right. Phil Mount so, Garnet. Hello.
So, yeah, you know? So there's no awkwardness when the Commissioner
G'day, Mick Dundee from Australia. How local can you get?
That's it. Yep.
So, Commissioner, you must enjoy catching up with the smaller stations in the area.
Yeah, I think you should never forget where you come from and how tough it is on the front line. Mm. You know, we have an amazing workforce. And you've got two of the best in front of you who really connect with the people they serve.
Yeah.
And I am a local, and I get very emotional coming back. It is home.
It is and home. Brisbane have stolen you from us. Yeah. Palaszczuk, what's her name? Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to that sister. No, but look, great to see you, and thank you very much for coming to the program. Some very good yarns in there. We've been doing Which Way Yarning now for about 7-odd years. Thank you, Senior Sergeant Linda Lyon, who worked with you in this space, and Brother Steve. And big shout-out to Cousin Robbie Hollingsworth, who started this concept. And I believe he's up there with Lotus Glen now doing some work up there. I just saw him yesterday at the opening of the Parliament.
Yes.
So that'd be good. He's back on the payroll, so he's due to shout lunch. I'll be catching up with that cousin. Know where he lives. But Commissioner, great to see you, and thank you for your appearance here.
Yeah, Tim, absolute pleasure to be here. And I commend my workforce here who are working so closely, particularly PLOs and, you know, people like Glenn, to work closely with our First Nations people with the challenges that we have. But I think there's hope. I think there's hope. And as long as we keep working together, there should be hope.
Yep, light at the end of the tunnel. And also like to state the fact that being a female you are, congratulations, girls can do anything. We have the beautiful manager of this station here. And look, it's about leading from the front. We need more women in leadership roles, you know. So thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Tim.
To Deli. We'll talk soon. My brothers, thank you very much. You, and all the best, eh?
Thank you.
Cheers. So beautiful yarn there with the guys and girls in blue, Commissioner Katarina Carroll, and also Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, and Police Liaison Officer Steve Grant, and come from Edmonton. Big shout out Edmonton Mob, leading the way. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. The daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Too Deadly. Look at the sun falling from the sky.
be fooled by the ball and the ways. It will cost sorrow and woe for our people and our land.
Please won't you hold me tight? No more lonely nights. Lord, whisper your name in my ear.
On your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mwakaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
What's good? Shout out to the homie DJ Darren on this one. Had to get Naka Jagger Rizza. Let's go. Feeling good right now. First Nations, let's go. Can never claim to keep a gangster, no need to prove it. Every minute, every second of the way needs a movement. We solid, we do it, we did it, we go. So fresh, I think the English is my second language. But no, I'm certain for them land rights, pow to the people. Shoot, echo, and so remain equal. And they ain't gotta kill my vibe. But real recognize real when the truth cries. Hey. One for them land rights, two making vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor. One for them land rights, two making vibe more. All around the world, now report to the dance floor. Hey, I let go. Let's go. Slammed in the resume, ticking off the meter. Straight to the dance floor, Soca Siva. They realize that we're vibing with indigo. Capitalize, so now we're hitting the centerfold. Anecdote, visualize I'm making in panico. Bucket up a last ride, rap it again and go. Sick, yeah, let's make him wilder with that poly good shoulder shrug, test my style.
Featuring Jaggaz here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, Colgate and Palmolive, a multi-million dollar brand, seeks to inspire change with commitment to buy from First Nation growers. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dilly brother, Dominic Smith, owner of the Pundi Produce and Derrimu brands on the line. We have Dominic. Good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Have yourself?
I'm good, I'm good. Where are you calling from? Who are you mob? Who are you mob? Where are you from, brother?
My mob from Yuin. So south of Sydney, but I reside on Nagawai country.
Okay, brother. So congratulations. Owner of, is it Pundi? Pundi?
Punti.
Punti, thank you. Punti Produce. And Derrimu brands, is that right?
Yeah, and Derrimu, yep.
Okay, thank you, Derrimu. Look, fantastic. Colgate and Palmolive, very big brands, seek to inspire change with commitment to buy from First Nation growers. So are you at the table in regard to this transaction?
Yes, I am. I'm lucky to be part of two other farmers.
Yes.
Yep.
And so what do you produce there, Dominic?
So I do river mint using aquaponics. And I'm also starting to work out ecosystems using like wattle trees, kwandongs, native thyme, and then hopefully one day native grains as well.
And these are ingredients for Colgate and Palmolive products, is that right?
Some of them for what I do for Punti,
yes.
But the river mint is for Colgate.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So how did this come about? Did they come knocking on your door, or did you have to put a tender in? Or tell us the process regarding, is the deal closed? Is this a goer?
I was lucky enough to meet the right people the pathway, yeah, really. Yeah. So it kind of kept growing from there. Good. There's no tender. It was just a conversation, yes, and then it started to grow from there. So
pardon the pun, started to grow from there. Fantastic. Yeah, too deadly. And but this is a great opportunity, and the old saying, prepare yourself for the opportunity, and the opportunity will present itself, and that's exactly what happened, Dom.
Yeah, I just, so put in the hard work, and then bloody doors started opening.
Yeah, fantastic. So have you had the first delivery as such to Colgate and Palmolive?
Yeah. So we, I work with Native Extracts. They've created stuff for Colgate Palmolive. So they transfer the plant molecules into a serum.
Yes.
And that's, yeah, so that's what Colgate use now.
Well, congratulations. Black man in business, now dealing with the big knobs, Colgate and Palmolive. Tell us about your organisation. Many First Nation people employed or family employed. Tell us the makeup of your business there, brother.
So I employ my brother at the moment.
He older brother or younger brother?
Well, he's older.
Yeah, but you're the boss.
Yeah, that's right.
Let him know that too, cuss.
Yeah, I do. Yep. But what I'm trying to do is, I finished my nursing degree this year and I want to create programs for young people.
Yes.
And integrate the farming, so it's about creating ecosystems. So the next 5 years, that's my goal, is to start these programs, or actually next year, and start to really shift into that and employ more of the mob.
Yeah, deadly. But you're a qualified nursing, is what you just said.
Yeah. So I'm almost, by end of the year, I should be.
And then you'd be nursing your staff in regard to this platform of farming.
Yeah, because it's about healing our people and country.
True, exactly, brother.
Yeah.
Well, when we talk about bush tucker or bush plants, bush medicine, that's exactly what you're doing, my brother. Look, it's so fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations, Dominic. And all the best to your family, your team there. Keep doing what you're doing. And Colgate and Palmolive have struck gold, striking you, my brother.
Well, just drive and change, brother.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Hey, great talking with you. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother. And we'll yarn soon, eh?
All right, then.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, catch you.
A deadly yarn there. That's Dominic Smith, his name is, owner of Punji Produce and Durumu Brands. And he has now closed a deal with Colgate and Palmolive, who are seeking to inspire change with commitment to buy from First Nation growers. And so the brother's in business and growing his produce. And now Colgate and Palmolive are at the table, and they do have a partnership now. So fantastic joint venture and regarding products, and it's great to see. So there it is. Doors can open up if you provide a platform as such. So keep the dream alive, you mob. Whatever a goal dream that you got, keep it alive. Live for the dream. The dream will help you live. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416.
Just knowledge is in my blood. Karanda, Karanda.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Gather round people, let me tell you a story. An 8-year-old story of power and pride. British Lord Vesty and Vincent Glengarry were opposite men on opposite sides. Vesty was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean and spoke very little. He had no bank balance, her debt was his floor. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Yeah, from Little Things, Big Things Grow. Electric Fields here on your daily program. Have your say and yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Now, World Ovarian Cancer Day 2023, detecting the hereditary risk associated with ovarian cancer. With that, we're going to catch up and have a yarn with Sarah Powell, CEO of Pink Hope. Sarah, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I live in Melbourne, but I'm currently in Canberra.
Okay, thank you. Cold country. We're in Cairns, yeah. Far North Queensland, so yes, thank you. Can you tell us more about ovarian cancer in Australia, please?
So ovarian cancer, about 1,800 women this year will get ovarian cancer, and it's one of the most sort of deadly cancers. It only has around a 50% five-year survival rate, which if you compare to breast cancer, which has sort of around a 90% five-year survival rate, you know, it's really one of the worst cancers for women.
And why is genetic testing so important, Sarah?
Yeah, so around about 15 to 20% of women with ovarian cancer will have an inherited mutation. So ones like the BRCA mutations that people might have heard of. Mm. And so it's really important to know your family history. And if you think that you've got a lot of breast or ovarian cancer in your family, go and see your GP and get genetic testing. Because that way you can take risk reduction, or you can look into your risk reducing options to try and, you know, ensure that you don't get ovarian cancer.
So ovarian cancer is hereditary?
Not for every case. Okay. Like I said, about 15 to 20% are due to an inherited mutation. But I guess, you know, if you know that you've got this mutation, then there's options you can take to ensure that you never get ovarian cancer. But basically, there's no screening for ovarian cancer. A lot of people confuse it with the Pap test, which is only looking for cervical cancer, not ovarian.
Okay.
So often for women, by the time the cancer is found, it's too late. It's already spread to another part of their body.
Mm. So what advice do you have for women wanting to test for a gene mutation?
So I would suggest that they go to our website. It's pinkhope.org.au. And we've got heaps and heaps of information that talk about how to sort of investigate your family history, how to have those conversations, a little bit, you know, more about what you need to think about. But I always encourage people, send us an email, give us a call. We're always happy to chat and help them out.
And so what's the webpage again, so people can go and find out more, sorry?
Sure, it's pinkhope.org.au.
All right, fantastic. So, yeah, do the research. That's what we all need to do, and keep partner, abreast of it all. So very important, and especially if there's history in the family, just do your bit and be aware of what's happened in your family, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for raising awareness.
Yeah, thank you for the yarn. Listen, all the best. You take care, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Sarah. Adelian there, that's Sarah Powell, CEO of Pink Hope. And so World Ovarian Cancer Day 2023, and that's 8 May, detecting the hereditary risk associated with ovarian cancer. So do your bit, your mob, do your research in regarding your family in the situation with ovarian cancer. It can be hereditary, and that's why the awareness is out there. Look at the top news here for today's headlines. A couple told they never owned a house they paid for at wit's end after ordered to pay legal costs. Another man here, a text message that saw Aussie dad lose $16,000 in seconds. Scammers everywhere, be aware. Victim awarded $1.75 million over pedophile priest as Catholic insurer warns on abuse claims cost. Japan's shrinking population face a point of no return. Mirror publisher apologises to Prince Harry in phone hacking trial as he takes different publishers to court. They were crying and freezing on the street, so I brought them into my home to live with me. New York lady has done this. Surprise, ex-White House employees say Donald Trump behaved grossly over women while president. Maguire's hypocrisy exposed by AFL World. Retreated Ukraine, Wagner confirmed Russian troops failing in Bakhmut, a Ukraine war. Putin comments made by Wagner boss may have overstepped the line. What other news here? Looking at headlines news for our First Nation mob. Horrified arts minister calls for a national probe into damaging Indigenous arts claim. Puts claims of white interference in Indigenous arts. Budget includes millions for Indigenous mental health services. Australians during a voice campaign. That's the headline there. What other black news we have? Key, no camps merged to form Australians for unity to strengthen a referendum campaign. The two campaigns pushing for a no vote to forthcoming voice to parliament referendum have merged in a move that is aimed at unifying their message and strengthening their campaign. And Senator Jacinta Price and Warren Mundine will join forces for the no campaign. Okay, what's your thought on the no, on the vote? Yes or no? Traditional owners say its land council's backflip on McPhillan's mine is outstanding. Albanese tears up in Chalmers speech addressing Indigenous voice. So they're the headlines, black and white, in regard to news for today. And with that, Trendy Trev will sign off here for the program for today. National Talk Black, one-hour program. Loved delivering the program. Had a deadly yarn with the Commissioner of Queensland Police there, Katerina Carroll. I also spoke to Dominic Smith, Indigenous farmer, and his contract joint venture with Colgate and Palmolive. Seeks to inspire change with commitment to buy from First Nation growers. And also Sarah Powell, the head of yarn with her about World Ovarian Cancer Day 2023. And for women to who are detecting the hereditary risks associated with ovarian cancer, do your search in your familyhood and look after yourself. I want to say a very good morning to Samantha, WA. Had a chat with her last week. Big shout out, sister, who was in hospital, now home, and her lovely son, who's her carer, John. Good morning to you. Hope you're well there in WA, you deadly mob. And to all our First Nation tourism operators who I met down there at Gold Coast for the ATE, Australian Tourism Exchange. A very good morning to you, Deadly Mob. Black people in business in the tourist industry and using culture as their vehicle. And like I said, we are black, we are wealthy being black, is what I wanted to say. And we just need to get proactive, get our skin in the game, and be strong to your culture. And you can use your culture as a financial business. But you're doing it with heart and with passion and with your ancestors alongside you. So too deadly. With that, Trinity Trevor Gunnar-Sonoff, thank you for your company, Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll